welcome everyone to Renegade Radio. I am your host, Andy Lowe. As always, we are brought to you by Renegade Concepts and the good folks here at Business Radio X. We're going to be talking again with business professionals about unique ways that they are stepping outside of the proverbial box, getting away from some of those conventional thought processes to create success, either in life or in their business. And today I'm joined by somebody that's going to pull us into a topic that I'm really fond of. I've got Seth Davies from Competitive Solutions in the studio today. And we're going to be talking about some strategies for managing less and accomplishing more. And for any of you that have listened to me for any length of time, you know this is kind of a hot button topic for me. I really like that idea. So Seth, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Andy. It's good to be here.
So let's just jump right in. I don't even want to waste time here. I want to manage less and accomplish more. So tell me a little bit about what that means to you guys and how does Competitive Solutions help with that idea?
Yeah, we see a lot of leaders that are stressed, they're tired, they're overworked, and they're being held accountable for results. But what we don't see at our firm, Competitive Solutions, is we don't see that same level of accountability being held at lower levels within their organization. And so what we like to talk about and have leaders think about is, how can I better engage my employees? How can I manage less and accomplish more by setting up what we call non-negotiable business processes?
Well, now, let's dig into that for a second, because I think there's a rub in the business marketplace right now when it comes to this word accountability, because people don't think of it in what I would call the right context. They think of it as almost like punishment, you know, and having a sales background. Accountability simply meant quota. I mean, right? It had no business process. It was just quota, you know, did you make your number or did you not? Or there was a number of cold calls, which is kind of a quota in and of itself. But when you guys talk about accountability, what do you mean?
When we talk about accountability, what we're talking about is the visible tactical representation of accountability. And I hear many leaders and many employees say, we need to have accountability around here, or there's no accountability. But what they lack is a system, a process to hold people accountable. And what I've seen in my firm sees that people absolutely love the concept of accountability, because not only are they being held accountable, but their peers are being held accountable, and their leaders being held accountable. So when you tie it down, accountability is a concept that organizations absolutely need to have and employees want, but there's no way, without a visible tactical representation, you're never going to hold people accountable.
So how do you enforce accountability to a group of people?
We use a tool, what we call an action register, and it's used to document critical tasks and assignments. And so as a leader is meeting with his or her team and people are saying, I'll do this, let's do that, those things need to go on this action register. And there needs to be firm set target dates so that the leader can then go follow up with them to say, hey, Andy, you are going to check on this. Tell me what happened. And at the same time, what happens is you're engaging people on your team, because if you think about your organization, your team, there's probably two or three people your go-to people. Every time you need something done, you go to them. Well, pretty soon they get tired, they get burned out, they get frustrated, and they're going to leave your organization. And you're going to be left with folks that you haven't spent the time developing, you haven't engaged, and now you're really and are going to be struggling trying to get the business done.
Okay, so here's a great question that comes to mind when it comes to accountability. I'm listening to what you just described, and I'm seeing how that sounds to me like a deviation from some of the conventional norms, where accountability is a push process. You're pushing down the accountability metrics. This sounds almost like a little bit of a pull process, where I'm getting people to opt in for the timelines, the deadlines, and the metrics that they're going to be accountable for.
Yeah, they're not opting in. Our term non-negotiable means this is how we do business.
Okay.
And so what we're saying is, if you want to be a part of this organization, part of this team, we're going to utilize accountability, and this is how we're going to utilize it. And when we're talking about metrics, we're firm believers that you got to start doing a better job of connecting your employees to the business. And what I mean by that is, it's one thing at a senior VP level to know, here's what we got to do to help the organization be successful, but how do you cascade that down within your organization to the middle managers, frontline supervisors, your customer service people? You've got to engage them and connect them and hold them accountable for their results.
Yeah, specifically, how do you make them care? Because if they don't care, if it's just a job, if their only motivation is not to get fired,
right,
then it breaks down, right?
Absolutely. And one of the, I'll tell you a story to illustrate that, is recently we were working with an automotive parts supplier in Detroit, and their leadership team was told, you've got 6 months to turn this business around, or we're going to have to shut you down, which meant 300 people were going to lose their jobs. Well, what they did is once they started engaging folks at the lower level and teaching them about cost, quality, productivity, people now saw, this is what we have to do on a daily basis to help our organization be successful. So if you can take your score, your strategy and your metrics and push it down to the lowest levels of your organization, that's where you're going to start seeing business success, is connecting people to the business.
So tell us a little bit about how you guys do that, because, again, it's a counterintuitive concept. Most of the time when people start thinking about accountability, they think more management, right?
Right.
I need to be more hands-on, but your strategy is different. Your strategy is more hands-off. How do you do that?
Well, our strategy and our approach allows the leader to give out critical assignments and tasks and then not have to micromanage it. And every day walk by a person's desk or cubicle and say, how are you coming on that project? Because if we've got clearly defined goals and objectives and target dates in place, as a leader, I shouldn't have to run around checking to see if people are doing what they're supposed to be doing, because we've got those actions documented on our action register. And so if there's an action that's due for an employee on August the 31st, I'm not going to worry about that until August the 31st, because many times the leader's running around fighting the crisis of the day and doesn't have the time to follow up. But also conversely, employees think, well, I know that John's given me that action. He's asked me to do something, but he's real busy. He's not going to follow up with me, so why should I follow through on that task? But by documenting what we're asking our folks to do, we've got that accountability tied into it.
Makes sense. So when you go into an organization, where do you guys plug in? Do you come in and simply teach the leadership about the way they should run these processes, or do you guys actually come in and help them implement these processes?
We come in and work with the senior leadership team on developing and deploying four key processes around connecting people to the business, consistency in how they operate, and that's the accountability piece, clarity of having a clear, consistent message of communication about the business, which, by the way, email is not a valid form of communication for me because it relies on someone to look at it. It's one way. And then the fourth way is the behavioral process of how are we going to work together. So we work with the leadership team to develop and deploy those four processes. And every organization is different. So you customize it, you tailor it to meet the needs of that specific organization. Once it's developed and deployed at the senior level, then you can start taking it down to the next level below. But history tells us that if we try to do this at the middle manager level or at low levels, it's never going to happen. Because employees always look to leadership for guidance, for direction. And they'll say, well, if John, my boss, isn't doing this, why should I be doing it?
Well, not only that, but there's a breakdown there, isn't there? Because if it becomes an us versus them, where I feel like I'm in opposition to my management team, well, then I'm not even looking for guidance. I'm really looking more for avoidance, aren't I?
Absolutely, and that's where we ask the leadership team to be the leaders, to mentor this, to say, this is how we're going to do business. We need to do a better job of communicating with our employees. We need to do a better job of holding people accountable. And by having these processes in place, you're driving that consistency across an entire organization. So what the interactions that I have with my manager are the same as the interactions you have with your manager. And we have a phrase at Competitive Solutions that you need to learn to manage by process, not by personality. And many leaders have been brought up that personality is what's going to get you results, that you give the rah-rah speeches to your employees and you motivate them that way. My issue with that is that's not sustainable, Andy, is that if that leader leaves the organization, everything that leader has put in place is going to leave. So they're not leaving a leadership legacy behind with them.
Yeah, I think that kind of an analogy that I would look at would be it's kind of like as a parent trying to be friends with your kid. You know, there certainly you want your kid to like you, and I think there's times to be friendly, but you got to be a parent first. And if there's not a process in place, friendship with your children breaks down.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things that a lot of organizations do is they focus too much on what they have in conflict, not what they have in common. And at the end of the day, the only thing that people in an organization have is the business. And so we've got to start focusing on what we have in common and growing the business and being strategic and increasing revenue, profitability, and shareholder value. And so having these processes helps drive that consistency. And it's the same with, to your analogy, with your children. I mean, you love them, but sometimes you got to say, this is how I'm going to parent, and this is how things are in my house.
That's right. So how do you, and maybe this isn't something you guys do, and maybe it is, help me out here. What about incentivizing the employees? I mean, how do you incentivize them? I mean, I get you want to share the mission, you want to share the vision. Are there additional incentives? And if so, what are they?
Well, I think the first incentive is, do you want to have a job? Do you want to stay in business? Because if we don't make changes to our business, we very may well fall apart in terms of sales, growth, what have you.
Now, hang on, let me just step in here and listen. I'm sorry, because I want to make sure I understand the distinction here, because I listened to what you said there. You said, at first, the wording was, if you want to have a job, but that's not really what you meant. It wasn't, hey, we're going to fire you if you don't know to do this.
Correct.
It was, our business won't be here. The business won't be here to succeed if we don't do this.
Absolutely, and that's what I'm talking about. And there was a company I was working with outside of New York City the last 2 years where their business was going away.
Uh-huh.
And employees were told, you know, we've got to demonstrate to our corporate office that we can be profitable and viable with that. And so that's incentive number one. But then I also see organizations that they tie an employee's, a team's year-end bonus to the performance on their metrics, on their scorecards.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a company out in Los Angeles where every morning you can come into the company break room, you can log in, and based on the performance of your scorecard, it will show you what your year-end bonus is going to be as of today. So what that does is that's motivating employees to say, you know, my year-end bonus today is $800. What I want my year-end bonus to be is $3,000. So it motivates the employee, and it motivates that team to come together for the betterment of the business.
I think that's critical. I think an employee has to know, how does what I do impact the overall goal and mission and vision of this organization?
Absolutely. And that's what employees are looking for. They're looking for clarity. They want to know what's expected of them. They want to leave their organization Friday afternoon at 5:00, and they want to say, I did what I needed to do to help my business be successful. And what shows that is their scorecard, their metrics on their scorecard, their report card, so to speak. And they're being measured on customer service, on productivity, people, quality, cost. So those are their measurements, so they know. Or they may leave Friday at 5 and say, you know what, we didn't do what we needed to do this week, but when we come in Monday, we're going to sit down as a team and we're going to spend 20 minutes talking about, what do we need to do differently this week? What are the behaviors so that we can take our metrics from red to green and help our business?
What do you see as some of the major mistakes that businesses that you guys tend to work with are making prior to you coming in and really helping them get on track?
The number one mistake that I see most organizations make is the way they communicate with their employees. And what I mean by that is I see a lot of organizations that are very good at advertising. And when I talk about advertising, I talk about emails, bulletin boards, company newsletters, company intranets, check stuffers that they put in employee paychecks. And the problem with those, Andy, is that it relies upon someone to actually look at it. And let's be honest, do we look at every single email that comes our way? No. Do we run home every night looking for that company newsletter? No. What my organization talks about is, let's get back to basics and let's have face-to-face, two-way communication where for 30 minutes once a week, we come together as a team, we talk about the business, the leader updates us, and as employees, we've got the opportunity to have that interface with our leader and talk about what's going on in the business, how does it impact us, and what we need to do differently.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that theme a few times here recently about email and about communication, where it seems that there is a growing trend where employees don't feel there's an open communication stream, and email is something that management tends to be utilizing a lot and hiding behind, and it's really causing an ineffective link between them and the rest of the team.
Email creates immense frustration for employees, because employees will send an email to their leader, their manager, but there may be 24, 48 hours that go by before they get a response. And the issue they're working on was time-sensitive, time-critical, whereas if that simple face-to-face, that phone call could happen, we could really alleviate a lot of frustration among employees with that. And I read a study recently I saw where, on average, 9% of the emails that you receive are valid for you, requiring action from you. So think about that. 89% of the emails that come in don't even pertain to you, but we're in this world of CCing everybody on the email, and this just creates immense frustration with employees.
Yeah, that's a pet peeve I won't go into, but the reply to all button is something I'd love to see removed from email.
Absolutely.
That is used entirely wrong. So let's talk a little bit about leadership, and what are some of the things that, I guess, with the economy being what it is and changes in the marketplace, that's really critical right now. Things they might be able to get away with in a good market, but they need to be highly aware of right now in growing their business in this type of economic climate.
I think the first thing that they need to think about is they need to start doing a better job of connecting people to the business, of giving the employees the scorecards that say, this is what we've got to do to be successful. Because leaders right now, they're overwhelmed, they're overworked, they're stressed out because they're being held accountable for so many things. Well, let's share some of that accountability. Let's move from selective engagement to collective accountability within an organization. So step number one for me is to develop a scorecard or business metrics so employees at the end of the day, at the end of the week, they can answer the question, are we winning or are we losing around that? And then the second thing I think we need to look at is it goes back to what we talked about at the beginning about accountability. Let's have accountability engage everyone in our organization. And take some of our low performers and try to bring them along and take off some of the pressure from our high performers. Those, to me, those are the two leadership fundamentals that could happen today and tomorrow. And then the third would be around communication. Let's do a better job of communicating with our employees, letting them know what's going on so then they can go out and make critical business decisions.
In this particular marketplace where the talent pool is as huge as it is because of people being out of work and companies downsizing, et cetera, what are you guys more of a fan of? Would you say you're more of a fan of personal development, personal and professional development of your existing people, or bringing in new people to fill gaps?
I'm a fan of working with what you got, because the cost to hire someone, the cost to retain someone, the cost to train someone is enormous nowadays. Mm-hmm. And if I've got someone that's already in my organization, they know the culture of my organization, and then I can start setting down and giving them the expectations that we have around the business, that to me is more attractive than trying to invest time, effort, money in a new hire.
I love the words you picked out, because again, it's another theme that we've heard a lot lately, culture of the organization. How critical is that to the success of business right now?
The culture of the organization really helps determine the success of the business, in my opinion, because people, money will get you in the door in an organization, but the culture is what's going to keep you there. And if you don't have a culture that people can embrace, that they want to be a part of, eventually you're going to lose them. So the culture is critical to that, and it's really one of the challenges I see around culture is creating a culture of recognition. Andy, what I see in my firm sees is, you know, leaders are real quick to run out and provide feedback when things aren't going so well, but what they fail to do is provide recognition when an employee does something above and beyond. And so we need to start having that culture of recognition, of recognizing employees. And it's recognition costs nothing. It's the intangible, informal handshake, pat on the back. Hey, we talked about what you did and how it benefited our business. Thank you. That right there goes a long way with employees.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, typically the only time you get recognized is when you screw up, and that's not motivating at all.
It's not, and actually it's defeating. Mm-hmm. And what that does is I think then as if I get feedback that's not positive from my leader and my peers see it, well, they're going to say, well, look, what he took a risk. It didn't work out. And so now we're going to start breaking down our employees and not having them take a risk and really do something above and beyond what we're asking them to do.
Well, let's talk about that piece for a second. I mentioned, you know, you get reprimanded when you screw up. Truthfully, in business or in life or in anything else, we're going to screw up, right? We're not perfect. We're human, and therefore we're going to make mistakes. We're not going to do the right thing sometimes, or we're not going to have the outcome that we desired, and it's not going to be because of intention. It's just going to be that's kind of the way it rolled. How does an organization or leadership specifically, how do they manage that within the organization so that when people, we'll use the word fail, right? When they don't succeed at whatever they were sitting out for, where that there's a growth opportunity versus a complete beat down.
Mm-hmm.
How do they manage that?
I think on the front end, you've got to set up some parameters that say this is, you know, you can work within this box. You're welcome to take risks within this box, knowing that if you step outside, the risk is greater to our organization. So I think it's having that discussion of upfront of what's our risk tolerance around that.
And then those metrics sound like a good support mechanism. I mean, if I'm hitting the metrics, if I'm doing what I should be doing and I'm not getting the desired result, then maybe something's wrong with the metrics, not necessarily wrong with the employee. Would that be fair?
That is fair. One of the things that we talk about is any metric that you're red on your scorecard, you got to talk about why are we red? What do we got to do differently? You know, what's our countermeasure, our corrective action around that? But sometimes the metric's just a bad metric. It really doesn't tell us anything about our business, and it really doesn't allow us to make any changes around that. And, you know, for leaders, I want you to know that scorecards aren't meant to be punitive. It's not one of those where you got an employee that's not meeting the goals and objectives or a team. You got to go out and coach them and say, look, let's talk about why you're not meeting the goals and objectives. What can you do differently? What can the team do differently to drive that business forward?
And creating those scorecards, again, that's something your company helps do, correct?
Absolutely. We've been in business for over 22 years, and that was really the foundation of our organization, was connecting employees to the business so that everyone from the site leadership, senior vice presidents, all the way down to your hourly folks, they knew what they needed to do to help the business be successful. And instead of the frontline supervisor, the middle manager running out Monday morning and say, you guys were horrible last week, the employees can identify early on, are we doing what we got to do? And so we're very firm believers of having a defined scorecard process in place, identifying what are your key themes, your key business focus areas, typically 4 to 6 of those, and typically those are quality, cost, safety, productivity, and then underneath that 2 or 3 metrics, SMART objectives that you measure. And then it's color-coded, so within 5 to 7 seconds, you know if you're winning or losing your business.
So what type of business is a good fit to work with Competitive Solutions?
We work with a wide range of organizations, anywhere from Harley-Davidson, we work with companies in the biotech, pharmaceutical industry, Pfizer, Genentech, the nonprofit world of Goodwill, do a lot of work with the Department of Defense. So my answer to that question would be any organization that wants to improve business results, that wants to improve communication and trust, and wants to improve the culture of the organization could benefit from our process. It's called process-based leadership.
Now, do companies get to a point where they're too small for what you guys are doing?
Not necessarily. We've worked with a company that's got 30 employees out in Kansas. It's a printing company, and we work with large companies, as I mentioned, Pfizer and Harley-Davidson, Department of Defense, large companies. So there's no size factor really matters in that. Obviously, the larger companies can see a lot of gain because of the sheer number of employees they have.
So I'm kind of taking that 30-employee mark, and just I want to ask on that one. So if I'm a company just a little bit smaller than that, maybe I'm 5 or 10, you know, I'm early stage, or I'm family owned and I'm growing. Are there some resources that are available through your website or other mechanisms where maybe I'm not ready for somebody to come in internal and help me, but I certainly need to be on this path?
Absolutely. Our website, www.processbasedleadership.com. We've got over 16 30-minute webinars on various topics that we've just talked about. We did one yesterday, actually, on leadership fundamentals. So you can go, you can download those, look at the PowerPoint slides, and just listen to hear the concepts that we're talking about of how to improve communication, how to hold people accountable, how to develop those scorecards. It's all out there, and I certainly would recommend and welcome anyone to go take advantage of those.
Well, it certainly sounds like the type of information that people should be investigating, like I said, no matter what size the organization, you know. And if you sit down with somebody, obviously this makes a lot of sense to me what you're talking about. But how do you guys go to market? How do you get in front of these companies to talk about the need? Because I know how businesses are. They tend to take these needs and cover them up, and sometimes Right. They don't want to talk about them. How do you get in front of them?
Well, obviously we're doing a lot of social media right now and just trying to educate folks out there about what we do, so when the need arises on that. And we also do a lot of public speaking at conferences and presenting kind of a case study around how can you improve communication? How can you do a better job of creating a better culture within your organization? So those are the two of our main avenues that we do to go to market.
I got it. Well, Seth, this has been great information here today. If somebody's out there and they're thinking, hey, I need some process improvement, I need some leadership direction, we really need to set up accountability and communication throughout our organization. I know you gave the website for the resources, but maybe you can reiterate that and give us any other contact information for how they would reach out to Competitive Solutions.
Absolutely. We're at website's competitive-solutions.net, and our other one is process-basedleadership.com. I'd love to meet up with some folks on LinkedIn. It's Seth Davies, and we're located in Alpharetta.
Oh, that's a good point. Social media-wise, if somebody wants to kind of follow the feed, are you guys on Twitter? Are you on Facebook? How would I follow you on social media?
Definitely follow us on LinkedIn and follow us on our website. We do have a Facebook page as well.
I got you. Well, Seth, again, thank you very much for being on the show today and sharing some great information with our listeners.
Thank you, Andy. It's been a pleasure.
For those of you listening, you know this is a hot topic, managing less and accomplishing more. I think any time that you can be more effective, that certainly goes against some of the conventional norms out there that think you got to do more to get more, and I personally don't agree with that. I think effectiveness is a far greater tool, and I think you'll feel a lot better in your business if you are more effective in getting results than if you just are working yourself to the bone to try to get something less than optimal. So each and every week, please tune in to Renegade Radio as we continue to visit with guests that are stepping outside of their traditional boundaries to create success in life and in business. And remember, opportunity lies in the impossible, but you have to be willing to break the rules of conventional thinking. Until next time.